Hello and good day, everyone. This is Kevin Finkel here with another episode of Magic, the First Pioneers. This is a podcast all about the Pioneer format, and we keep our listeners up to date with whatever is new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer.
And my name is Ryan Schwenk. I am the Japan hobbyist out of the Yokohama area of Japan.
All right, so we've been going kind of meta-heavy lately. You know, we've been talking a lot about new decks, a lot about what's been shaping out in the format, you know, kind of focusing on competitive. This week, we didn't want to go too far from that, but we did want to talk a little bit of a different direction, you know, kind of hypothetical for the future. And the latest information that we've gotten this week is something cool, was the Historic Anthology dropped. So this is Arena cards that are not standard cards, but they're adding into Arena to make playable in Historic.
And we already...
Yeah.
I was going to say, we already kind of talked about this a few episodes back, I think, like playing Pioneer on Arena. So this is kind of a continuation of that topic, I guess, sort of.
Yeah, you know, both you and I are kind of holdouts in that we would love to just play Pioneer on Arena. We don't really want to go all in buying out a full collection on MTGO, so... Mm-hmm. You know, we're kind of, I think a lot of players are like us, that they're kind of caught in between, that they like Pioneer, they love the format, but if they want to play, you know, if they want to play on Arena, they've got to play Standard, or if they want to play Modern or something else, you know, they're going to play it on paper, they're going to play it on MTGO. So it's a weird dichotomy there. So what we're talking about is, you know, we want to look at what is new in this and think about how that could impact if Pioneer one day is on Arena. So... You know, what will happen if these cards are available, whether or not these are good reprints that they could put into a Pioneer mm-hmm. set, you know, something legal and standard or not.
So let's do...
It's going to see how that goes.
Let's do this first. Let's talk about the cards that are actually currently in Pioneer that are in this anthology set. And then after that, we'll talk about the other ones and be like, is this too strong for Pioneer? Is this okay for Pioneer? Could it fit? Does that sound good?
Yeah, that sounds great.
So the biggest one is Ulamog, the Ceaseless Hunger. 10 mana, 10/10. Everyone knows him. Big buddy, indestructible. Mm-hmm. Exile 2 permanents when it comes into play. And when he attacks, exiles the top 20 cards of an opponent's library. I think this is definitely playable in Pioneer. As far as Historic, maybe not yet. But do you think you could start to build any decks with this guy on Arena? Like, could you make a...
Oh, so I haven't been playing Historic, so that's where probably I'm going to need your expertise in that. You know, I've played Standard, I played Pioneer, but I haven't felt like, you know, keeping up enough to go with Historic.
Well, he's currently... Well, let's talk about in Pioneer, the decks that he's actually in, right, mm-hmm. is going to be, like, maybe Ramp and... I'm going to say what else. I mean, he was in the Energy deck.
Marvel,
there we go, yeah. And
yeah, mostly either Ramp or like the mono green Planeswalkers deck. You know, it could pull him and cast him with some big mana. And I think what's really missing there from Historic is just the Nykthos.
Mm-hmm.
Is he's really hard to cast without Nykthos. You know, I'm sure you could probably do it with Nissa,
like the,
but that's a little bit different.
Like Nissa and the Uro and the like a blue green, like Ramp type of deck, maybe Growth Spiral. Those decks are kind of crazy right now, so...
Yeah, that does exist. And the question will then be whether or not there's good answers, which I'm afraid there might be for Ulamog. You know, Teferi Bounce isn't the best, I guess, mm-hmm. But Teferi Tuck is okay. If you can exile him with, like, Elspeth Conqueror's Death.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. Kind of slow, but...
Yeah.
The other one, Swansong. Is that playable? Not really playable in Pioneer, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, I forgot that that actually is available in Pioneer. You know, that saw a tiny bit of play in Standard. It'll depend if there is one day, you know, a combo deck that wants to be able to run that to protect their combo, then it'll see play.
Mm-hmm.
As far as in Standard, I don't think that there's anything like that. You know, it is really more of a combo card. You don't want to be doing it in a fair deck because you're giving your opponent quite a bit of an advantage for countering their spell.
And the other one is Ratchet Bomb. Does that see any sideboard play in Pioneer?
Again, here and there. I think that that's a reasonable card. It shows up. I see it as a one of in sideboards now and then. I don't know much about where that could add to Standard and Historic cards mm-hmm. to make something powerful. But, you know, if there are a lot of white weenies decks or something like that, you might be able to answer them.
All right, and the last one I think that they have that's in Pioneer right now is Maze's End. from Dragon's
Yeah,
Maze.
I did see that, that they added Maze's End. That's fun, you know. I don't think that it's close to playable right now. Even when we had...
it was playable.
Field of the Dead. When we had Field of the Dead, yeah, it was an option in that deck, but it wasn't even the main plan.
Yeah.
Even when you're building around it, it's not the main plan. And without that... wait, is Field of the Dead still...
It's legal, legal in Historic. It has been banned yet.
That's interesting. I don't know if it'll stay...
It's horrible.
Stay legal forever, but that's that is a thing.
So those are the only cards I think that, you know, we can currently play in Pioneer. The rest are entirely Historic only cards. But I kind of, like I said, I
wanted, and there's some interesting ones.
I wanted to go over these and tell me if you think these would be fine to have in Pioneer. Would they bust it? Would they break it? How would these fit in?
Yeah, so that for me, that's what's really fun about this episode is, let's say, hey, if this had been released for, okay, this is now legal in Pioneer and Historic, or Historic and Pioneer. I should put the emphasis of excitement on the correct card there. How does that impact the Pioneer format? And what I do think we have to think about going forward is that if they do one day put Pioneer available on Arena,
mm-hmm,
are these cards going to be legal in that format? So that's a really big question for what they want to do, what we think would be best. You know, would that make this format look too much like Modern?
Mm-hmm.
There's some questions there that I think are fair to raise, as well as, you know, we've kind of said it before, but it's really important that Arena Pioneer looks exactly the same as Paper Pioneer.
Yeah.
So if they're going to make these cards legal in Pioneer when it goes on Arena, they need to make sure that they're not only legal in paper, but also readily available cards in paper. You know, if there's any cards here that are, I didn't look at any of like the prices.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of what here could be really expensive. Like, how much does a Phyrexian Obliterator run? I feel like that runs some
30,
money just
40,
because it's an interesting
yeah.
card. Yeah, yeah. A Ziggurat, I know, can cost some money.
So, I'm thinking maybe some of these cards, maybe most, if not all these cards, could possibly be in that Pioneer Master set, and you're just kind of like testing it out right now.
That would certainly be interesting. So let's look at this set as if, hey, they're adding this and it's going to be legal in Pioneer. What does that do to Pioneer?
Yeah. So do you
anything for you that stands out right away?
Well, you want to talk about Obliterator?
Sure. Let's talk about Phyrexian Obliterator. So, you know, that's a pretty fair card as far as, you know, it's a creature that doesn't do anything when it enters the battlefield. It costs 4 mana.
5/5
Trample.
Seems
like it should be, yeah. You know, it's 5/5 Trample, and whenever a source would deal it damage, or does deal it damage, that source's controller sacrifices permanence. So basically what that means most of the time is that you can't kill it with red removal,
mm-hmm,
and you can't block it.
Yeah.
And you can't really attack into it very well.
Yeah, gotta kill it. So it's great blocker. It's got great devotion. That's where I would see it first and foremost.
That stands out for me as well. So Black Devotion hasn't really been seeing much play recently. I don't know if this is the card that pushes that over the edge. You know, 4 mana... Maybe tough to ask for that.
I mean, board wipes is what that deck is weak against. And, I mean, Phyrexian Obliterator doesn't really help you in that respect.
It does not, no.
But it would be fun. It would be an interesting card. I don't think it'd be too broken. It would be scary.
Yeah, I think it'd be fair. It would be really nasty if there's any very black-heavy decks and they're running against red.
Mm-hmm.
So if, you know, something like the Mono Black Arrow can come back, throw this in as a sideboard card against red and just be really scary.
Hmm. Okay, you want to choose the next one? What else do you think could
all
see
All right,
play?
So let me think about some things that really stand out to me. So one that stood out to me as being like, oh man, was Timely Reinforcement.
Yes.
So this was an M12 card. If you have less life than your opponent, you gain 6 life. If you have less creatures than your opponent, you create 3 1/1 white soldier tokens.
I always thought this was a great rate.
It is a nasty, nasty control card. And I think that would see some automatic play in the blue-white control style decks. Maybe even... know, encourage some non-white control decks to splash into white if there are any of those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I kind of feel like white has been needing more powerful cards in Pioneer for a while now, and I think Timely Reinforcements would not be too powerful. Wouldn't really break the format, but it would make non-white decks have a really hard time with them.
Yeah, it's a great anti-aggro card in particular.
Next one. I kind of want to talk about Unburial Rites.
Yes, that's a big one.
I feel like the entire Pioneer format is really lacking a decent reanimator function. Yes, we have Whip of Erebos now, but, you know, nobody has really tried playing, you know, any kind of
Yeah, so
of
I had a similar
deck.
Thought when I was looking at you know, look, studying for this episode of what that would impact the format is, you know, we've got Whip, we've got God Pharaoh's Gift, we've got Scarab God, you know, we have some decent reanimator effects.
Mm-hmm.
And really the advantage of this one is that you never have to draw it. You can run a single copy and mill your whole deck, mm-hmm. and you're going to have it in your graveyard for when you need it.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. You know, if you're playing it and, you know, you, if you find a way to mill your whole deck and you've got one Thassa's Oracle in your yard, mm-hmm. and you're not even in black mana, you can still reanimate that and put it into play.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it's fair. It's not overly powerful compared to, like, some of the busted stuff that we've been doing with Dredge or whatever other, you know, graveyard strategies in Pioneer. I think it's a totally fair card.
Yeah, it's one that I'd build around. I think that's fair to say.
All right. Any other cards you think could see play?
Definitely some interesting ones. You know, I look at Roar the Worm, and I'm nostalgic. I loved that card when it was a standard card. We got a similar card to it, something that makes a 6/6 and can... From Amonkhet, it comes back as a 6/6.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that one was slightly maybe worse because the front side was a creature, so it had to actually die to get the second part. But the fact that that never saw even any of the slightest bit of play means that Roar probably just isn't good enough for Pioneer.
It's that flashback for 4 mana for 6/6. That's just great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean... Green-White Tokens hasn't really seen any play at all. I mean, I don't know if you'd play that in there or if you would play it in, you know, some other deck. But I don't know if there's actually a spot for it at the moment, even if it was available in Pioneer.
Mm-hmm. I like both of the Gem Palm that they reprinted. Mm-hmm. You know, in particular, I just want to say that I love this kind of card because I'm a big fan of making these kind of niche strategies. In Pioneer, especially, when you've got, like, hey, you know, if you add a random card to help out just mm-hmm. the Zombies deck, it can be a powerful card, and it's only helping that one deck. So that's very okay to do. So helping out, you know, Goblins, Zombies, neither of them's particularly a deck in Pioneer.
Mm-hmm.
Getting to have a powerful card to add either of those strategies seems like a decent thing.
Yeah, the Incinerator is a lot scarier to me. I think there's a lot more ways to put Goblins onto the battlefield.
Hmm.
So I'd be more scared seeing that in as a possibility to play, you know, with like a Goblin Rabble Master or Legion War Boss or something like that.
Could be interesting, yeah. And that does nice because it can hit a creature. Now, Polluter, it's actually really funny to me thinking about Historic mm-hmm. is that this is old templating. That does not say zombies you control. That says zombies on the battlefield.
Yeah.
So if your opponent's playing Field of the Dead and they've got 20 zombies, you can just dome them.
Nice. That's the same thing with Incinerator too, then, right?
Yes, all
goblins. So yeah, maybe that'll be changed. Maybe they're just kind of this isn't like the historic frame yet. Mm-hmm. Maybe they'll add that on later. I don't know. But yeah, that is interesting to see. I think they would change it though if it was in Pioneer.
Yeah, I mean, they wouldn't be able to change the card, but that makes it feel less likely that it could get a reprint into Pioneer.
As far as the next card, you already started talking about this a little bit earlier. You said Ancient Ziggurat's a really good card, so let's talk about that next. Would this be too
very
strong?
Very much so. So, I don't think this is too strong. You know, they're being very careful on multicolor strategies right now. The question is whether or not there would be a strategy that involves this card. The one for me that comes to mind, obviously, is Humans. Mm-hmm. I think that especially if we're including the other historic anthology cards, we'd have Thalia, we'd have Meddling Mage. That would be a very, very scary Humans deck.
Mm-hmm.
Without that, yeah.
I was going to say, aren't the other decks kind of playing the Ixalan card? Forgot what it was called.
Unclaimed Territory.
There we go, Unclaimed Territory. Yeah,
yeah, so you mean, if you've got Unclaimed Territory, this is... it's mostly a step up for, you know, for the Humans deck. The best one you'd get would be Cavern, but we obviously don't have that. But mm-hmm. you know, Ziggurat definitely has some drawback, you know, not being able to cast your removal, things like that. So there's definitely trade off there, but the more of those effects you have, the greedier you can get. So even if you've got Unclaimed Territory, a 4-color Humans deck does not sound reasonable to me. I've seen people try it just recently in Pioneer. I didn't think that was good.
Mm-hmm.
But being able to do that, you know, one more of these kind of effect, and it probably pushes that over the edge. Or even to do 5-color if there's like a single, you know, if you want like Anafenza and otherwise you're not in black, mm-hmm. it lets you do that.
Other than those cards, I don't know if there's anything else that would actually be good that could, you know, be playable.
Yeah, you know, Chainer's Edict is a cool card. I don't think that it would see play just currently because right now, like, Trial of Ambition has more upside with Yorion.
Mm-hmm.
I look at a Chroma's Memorial, and I would totally throw that in the sideboard of, like, a mono-green deck, pull it with Karn, mm-hmm. and drop that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's a one-of and probably gets cut. How about the enchantments? You know, the Enchantress Presence. Whenever you cast an enchantment spell, you draw a card.
Yeah.
Well, that's Mirari's Wake. Yeah, that's going another direction. But there's some good enchantments here.
I mean, Enchantress Presence could be in, like, the Enchantress deck, right? The Sigil of the Empty Throne. Maybe that's mm-hmm. where you would play it. No? Yes?
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know if you have to go that deep. Maybe find a different... Yeah, we've never seen Eidolon of Blossoms really mm-hmm. show up in Pioneer.
Okay, so you're thinking more like a Constellation deck. Just like draw your entire deck sort of thing. Okay.
Definitely.
Tempered Steel is always fun and standard. You know, we have Ornithopter, but we don't have Memnites. We don't have a lot of other zero casting cost artifacts, I think, that it could really take advantage of. So.
Yeah, the double white in there is a little bit weird for... Pioneer, you know, you'd really want it like a blue-red deck, and that would be tough.
Yeah.
Plus, it's 3 mana, so you can't bring it back with Lurrus, so what do you even want it for?
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't pass the Lurrus test.
Yeah, those are some of them. Corrosion Tusker, you know, that's a powerful card. I would see that seeing some play.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, other than that, I don't think there's anything that I would get super excited about having in Pioneer. And you could definitely have them in Pioneer, but I don't think they'd be busted.
Yeah, but, you know, a few of them that we did name would be pretty busted.
Yeah, yeah.
At least a little bit.
So this kind of leads me on to my last topic that I wanted to talk about, and I don't think we've talked about this yet. We did talk about this before when we were a Frontier podcast, but we talked about reprints. We talked about breaking Frontier, and I want to talk about breaking Pioneer. So kind of continuing on this path of historic, you know, kind of adding more and more and more cards to the format to see if it's broken or not, what cards that aren't in these historic anthologies yet but are like in modern or other eternal formats could we reprint in standard or, you know, I don't know, some kind of, you know, Pioneer Master set in the future to be playable in Pioneer. So if you don't mind...
I'll start by just saying, like, my list is a little bit small, just because for me I really like Pioneer. Mm-hmm. I've liked it pretty much every time, like every time a new set's come out, I've still loved it, and I'm happy with kind of seeing it grow naturally. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that I'm like this, so the ones that I have, it's mostly like either this is a fun card that would be cool to see, or it's like there's kind of a big hole here.
Yes,
but I don't have a lot of, like, you know, I don't just want Pioneer to become modern.
No.
I wouldn't just be like, hey, you know, I like Counterspell, let's see Counterspell show up. Or, like, I like Monolink, let's see Monolink show up. I don't want just, like, cards that will be more powerful. I'm more interested in, like, hey, this is a strategy that is on the borderline. I'd love to see it get another card. Or this is an obvious hole either in our hate cards mm-hmm. or, you know, mm-hmm. a certain color or something like that. I've got a couple maybe fun ones, but I don't have a huge list if you've got something to lead off with.
Well, you can start off if you don't have a huge list. I mean, we've talked about it time and time again how white needs something like a Path to Exile.
Yeah, and that's probably where I would go to. You know, I'd give my whole spiel is that, you know, there's just not any good cheap white removal. They've really been lacking on that recently, and that'd be something I'd love to see. Something that, you know, man, we've gotten some really good removal for other colors, and... You know, if we don't have anything close to an Assassin's Trophy or a Braid or, mm-hmm. you know, anything, a Fatal Push, there's just so much in every other color that white feels really lacking behind for less than 3 mana.
White just feels like a bad color most of the time now, to be honest.
You know, looking back on Theros, I feel like, you know, they printed Banishing Light, which for standard is kind of cool, mm-hmm. but, like, considering that it's a set so focused on enchantments... There was more enchantment hate coming out of Theros. So, like, mm-hmm. they needed to think about that and that Banishing Light in another set might have been a powerful card where there's no enchantment hate, mm-hmm. but I feel like they needed to push it an extra level. They needed to take a mana off of Banishing Light, maybe give it a CMC limit, something like that,
mm-hmm.
in order to make that really balanced. I mean, they've had
other similar stuff just for creatures, though, like what they had, the Glass Casket, I think, and Eldraine, and that was like 2 mana, which is kind of like a Path to Nowhere effect, I think.
Sure, I mean, that's Silk Wrap, that's...
Yeah.
We had the one that makes a dinosaur when it leaves.
Yeah. I think I've talked about this before. I always wanted to get like a Restoration Angel, you know, back into...
That'd be interesting.
It'd be really cool, like in, you know, like Blue-White Flyers, or, you know... I mean, I don't know if you would play it in Spirits, but, you know, just some kind of Blink deck.
Well, you know, right now it would get banned.
Because of Yorion and the companions and
because
all that?
Of Yorion, yeah. Yes, definitely. Yeah.
But yeah. Without that type of card in the format, I wouldn't mind seeing it back. I mean, I guess that is the problem, okay. is just the resetting of the ETB effects. We didn't have really good ETB effects in Pioneer up until recently, to be honest.
Yeah, maybe.
There's a couple really good cards, but it wasn't like broken like it was, I remember back in Standard, like when we had Innistrad and stuff like that, just, you know, Snapcaster Mage and Thraktusk and, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
I know one of the ones that's been on my list is Meddling Mage, so that is one of those ones that's in... It was in Historic Anthology 2, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I would love to have seen something like that.
Is that, you know,
that's
powerful?
A little bit of where...
I mean, what?
It's a powerful card. I think it is a place where we're just lacking some targeted hate. Mm-hmm. When there's something like the blue-black Inverter deck, just being able to like play it and be like, hey, you can never play Inverter unless if you deal with this first.
I mean, I think that 2-mana,
you know,
2-2,
that's not
though.
Broken, but...
I wouldn't mind. I mean, I could see that some of these cards will probably get a functional reprint. And Meddling Mage, maybe we'll get something like a 3-mana that has the same effect. I don't know if they'd reprint that, though, to be honest. One more white card I wanted to talk about. Lingering Souls. I think that's really good. I don't know if this could be... I don't think it would be broken.
It's scary. Like, it's one of those things where, like, you think about it being such a powerful card. I mean, it yeah, maybe not right now, but it has seen Legacy play.
Mm-hmm.
But it really needs white to be decent. So that's a little confusing. You know, white black, maybe not the best color combination in Pioneer.
Yeah, because like right now, white black
is your Aura's
deck,
right? I'd be very interested to see
if
it's playable. Yeah.
So I don't know what deck it would fit into. It would have no. It would be a good card, but it wouldn't have any place to be played.
I've definitely got a janky Mardu Lurrus deck that I would love to have it. Lurrus Napkin.
It would 100% help Mardu, for sure. And maybe even like some kind of Abzan deck. But those decks aren't really seeing any kind of play whatsoever.
Yeah.
So
those are colors that I love, though, so let's see it.
How about you do blue next? What blue cards would you like to see? You know I hate blue. I don't want to give it any new counterspells.
No, and I don't think it needs a new counterspell suite. You know, it does have some amount of main deckable counterspells. I think that it's got a reasonable suite there. It's got more interaction than blue traditionally has. You know, we've got good bounce spells, things like that. There's nothing that I'm like, oh man, blue really needs off the top of my head. You know, maybe I would look at maybe something like a Merfolk Lore like you were talking about.
Yeah.
That would be nice to see, just to help like the specific strategies in blue.
Would Merfolk finally be playable if they had something like, you know, Lord of Atlantis reprinted or like, I don't know, Korahelm Commander or something?
Maybe if we had like two of them. So wasn't there one of them in...
The Mistwalker, I think, open. Is the...
No, Mirror Regery was printed in one of the anthologies.
Yeah. I don't think it's enough yet, though. Maybe it is.
No, I don't think that's enough. If you maybe have one more, then you're getting there.
Then it gets scary. But then I think there's a lot of effects too, like, you know, like the stuff that gives all the same type, -, the Witch's Vengeance, maybe. I don't know if that's going to be powerful enough, but...
Yeah, I don't know if that sees play.
But all right, so if you're okay in blue, how about we move on to black? Black's got a lot of fun cards that I think could be reprinted.
What are you thinking? Because, you know, black, when I think about black, nothing comes to mind being, like, super powerful.
Inquisition of Kozilek?
Okay, so yeah, that's maybe a good point, is that right now Thoughtseize is one of the few cards where there is no second best Thoughtseize. Mm-hmm. There is Thoughtseize, or there is you're playing in color other than black.
Yeah.
So having something like Inquisition, maybe even like Surgical Extraction, something that would give you a reason to play something other than Thoughtseize, I'd be pretty excited about.
And then we'd actually maybe have a deck like Jund in the format, like a mid-range deck that's about value, because we don't really have that, I think, right now.
We're getting some of those. Yeah. You know, I kind of like the napkin decks is what I've been calling them, is the like more mid-range Lurrus decks.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen too many of them yet, though, compared to like the metagame as a whole. I don't think it has like a large percentage.
I'll shoot you. You know, there's been some Jund ones. There's been some Grixis ones. Like I said, I was playing with a Mardu one.
Mm-hmm. But they're not tier one yet. They're not tier 1.5. I think they're still kind of tier two.
Yeah.
Tough
to say in the meta right now. Meta's been pretty wild.
Can you think of any black cards you'd like to see reprinted that wouldn't be busted?
Well, I guess if we're going specifically by color, you know, we skipped a white one that I have as just a fun one.
Mm-hmm.
This has been a card I've been saying like, oh man, I'd love to see this see play for one specific reason. Eternal Dragon. Do you know that card?
I've heard of it. Can you remind me?
Ooh, okay, let me see if I can name it all without. So it's a 5 white for a. For a 5/5 flying dragon with planes cycling. So you can cycle it for 2 mana to find any planes card and put it into your hand instead of drawing a card. And you can pay, I want to say like 5 during your upkeep to return it from your graveyard to hand.
Mm-hmm. It keeps coming back, yeah, I think.
So it keeps coming back. It's kind of a control finisher. But what would be really cool is that it would be so good that it might make Esper Dragons a deck again. And I kind of love that deck in Standard. And we've never seen anything close to it be playable in Pioneer. So that's on my, like, ooh, I wish that was a thing.
Yeah, people were playing with that, I think, when Pioneer was first announced. And then they're like, they found out it's not that good. And they stopped playing.
Yeah, I think the people who were in Frontier quickly were like, guys, no. There's so much better.
What about Surgical Extraction? I think I've talked about this before in other topics, but I kind of feel like we need a better extraction effect, because basically it is the how do I say, penultimate, I don't know, it's the zenith, the...
Yeah, you know, it's a free card that lets you do that effect in any color. I agree with you, and let me quick say that I think I said Surgical Extraction earlier because I saw it on your list, and I had meant what's the one in Legacy?
Name a card.
The one that you can name a card and they discard it. Yeah, something more like that. What was more what I was thinking of as far as being a replacement for Thoughtseize. Surgical, I kind of agree with you. You know, again, targeted hate to specific decks. Surgical does a good job of that. And we are lacking a little bit of that kind of silver bullet effect.
We have Unmoored Ego. We have, of course, sure, Slaughter Games. And the black one, Lost Legacy.
Infinite Obliteration or Lost Legacy. Those so we've got a couple effects,
I think,
at 3 or 4 or 5 mana.
We need it.
We are lacking a little bit. Yeah, 2 mana, something like that.
Like, even if they made this like a 2 mana type effect, I would, you know, with like a really big drawback, like lose 4 life or something, I would pay.
There's definitely a debate. So I don't love silver bullets being everywhere. You know, I don't love it that you can completely hate out a deck with a single card.
Mm-hmm.
But there currently are silver bullets for other decks. You know, there's things like Leyline, there's Rest in Peace. So graveyard decks, there are enough silver bullets for.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas other kind of combo decks, there's not the same silver bullet level as what Modern Legacy have, but there are those kind of powerful decks, so there's a little bit of imbalance there.
Yeah. I mean, I have a couple more ideas in black, and you can just tell me if you think they're good choices or not. You want to do that?
Yeah, go for it.
Gravecrawler and Zombies.
Ooh, interesting. Okay. Yeah, Zombies has always been very... it doesn't have a clear plan in Pioneer. There's been a lot of Zombies cards printed, but they just don't have the same strategy in mind. You know, you're not playing Crypt Breaker in the same deck where you're playing, you know, super aggro cards. You're not playing the whatever it is, the Liliana's Mastery in the same deck as, I don't know, what is the 2/2 for 1 mana. So, like, it definitely, it doesn't have a coherent plan. Elves kind of has the same problem, is that they've got a lot of good cards, but the grindy elves and the aggro elves and the mono elves don't all work together very well.
Yeah. And Gravecrawler, I mean, maybe we should be telling people what these do if they don't know what these cards are. So it's a 1 mana 2/1, comes back from the graveyard to the battlefield if you have a zombie. right, for one mana. So you just keep bringing it back, bringing it back. Inquisition was 3 mana or less, converted mana cost, I believe. Yeah, you can discard. Make them discard. Surgical Extraction is the Phyrexian mana, or, you know, black or Phyrexian mana, and then name a card, and then you get to look at their hand, their graveyard, and their library, and get rid of it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what about, if we're thinking real quick about tribal decks, mm-hmm. are there any other cool tribal lords or anything that you'd be like, oh man, if they had, like, what would make elves good? What would make, what are other tribes that you've heard even close?
The Archdruid, the, what, 3 mana, 2/2, that gives all elves +1/+1, and then they can all tap for mana?
Right, Nuri?
That would be nasty, I think. What else?
That could be cool.
What else? What other good ones? Because I think there's actually one in the Historic Anthology, and maybe even like the first.
I'll take a look while you're thinking.
Yeah, I can't think of any other. I mean, I know as far as payoffs, you know, there's Azuri, right? Give everybody.
They did Imperfect, like an F-ball. Imperius Perfect. Yeah, is another elf one.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the other elves are. Wasn't there one from like Conflux? Or something like that whole.
Yeah, or I'm even thinking back like Legacy Elves, but that, you know, that's a pretty specific deck.
Yeah.
So how about what about what's the Crater Hoof Behemoth? That'd be an interesting reprint.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we have the 7/7 guy from.
Yeah, he's not the same.
No, he's not. Yeah. What about the Serial Seer, the 1-mana 1/1 that has the sacrifice a creature effect on them? We kind of talked about this when we talked about Aristocrats and Rally decks in the past, saying that it needs kind of a better, how can I say, a more efficient sacrifice outlet. Would that be too strong? Would that make...
Definitely be interesting. It's one of those things that I used to say, like, you know, if they preprinted Viscera Seer, that could be so awesome. It would maybe break that deck. I don't know if it's true that it would break the deck anymore, but I think it would be sweet, especially we are seeing some versions that are 1 and 2 mana, so it'd fit very well in there.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, what would be very cool, the one I've even liked even more than that is Grave, what is it? Oh, shoot. Grave Robber? Grave, no, Carrion Feeder, I think, is the card.
I've heard of that.
So that's a 1/1 for a black. It can't block, but you can sacrifice a creature for no mana to put a +1/+1 counter on it. So that would not only see play in those sacrifice decks, it would be a way bigger bomb in those decks, mm-hmm. and it would also maybe be playable in something with counters.
Okay. I think that's probably good for black. I mean, I don't want to talk. I can talk all day about what cards I want to see back in the format. But red, is Goblin Guide too strong?
Ooh. Maybe not. I think it's pretty close to the power level of other red threats. Maybe a little bit strong.
Mm-hmm. I mean, because if you're...
You know, red's not hurting, I don't think, for one drops.
I mean, is it the haste that would be too powerful? I mean, we have Monastery Swift Spear. It's a 1/2, though. And then, I don't know what other... We don't have, like, a lot of other hasty creatures in red. Everything else is, like, Soulscar Mage. Or, you kind of, like, you can't play it until the second turn.
There's the one that gets haste. You could play Zergo. Mm-hmm. Ooh. So here's an interesting one. What about Grim Lavamancer would be too powerful, right?
Okay, that's the disc. Was it the remove 2 cards from the library? Or sorry, from the
graveyard? Yeah, that's red and a tap. You red and tap, exile 2 cards from your graveyard for it to do 2 to any target. Now, what I was mostly thinking of, I was like, what are some other wizards we could get? Because we're so close to wizards deck, mm-hmm. and Lavamancer being a wizard would be really cool.
I mean, the blue red wizards won, I want to say, back in January or February at the Nagoya Magic Fest in Pioneer, so. I mean, it's already kind of a deck. Hmm. Grim Lavamancer, I don't know. We haven't really seen burn decks in this format. I mean, you have mono red.
There's some right now, you know. Yeah, some of the, like, the Obosh decks, the Lurrus decks are getting a little bit more burny, which I like.
Well, I guess this is any card, right? It's not just instants or sorceries.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah, I'm not sure. It would definitely make red more of a pain to play against. It would be really dangerous.
It is a dangerous card. It's very nasty against other creature strategies.
We spoke about dragons earlier. Thundermail Hellkite, I've always had a crush on. It's just a big, nasty beast. What, the 5/5 flyer and 5 mana haste, I believe. And when it comes, maybe it doesn't have haste, but when it comes into play, 1 damage to all flying creatures and taps them, I'm pretty sure it has haste.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that has haste.
Yeah, I've been missing out, like, those really good 5-drop beefy creatures that just...
I mean, we've got we currently have Glorybringer, and we have
so much better than Glorybringer.
What is the white the pro white one?
Stormbreath Dragon. Yeah, but just tapping all the flyers down, like especially against like decks like what is it, spirits or something, be really nasty against it.
I almost feel like we need a good like 4 mana dragon more is kind of what those decks are missing, but I don't know if there is one that would that exists already.
I don't think so. I've never really seen any good 4 mana dragons. Thinking
like, you know, Rakdos Pit Dragon was a cool one, maybe.
I don't remember that. I didn't play back in the original. So
yeah, it was original. That was a 4 mana 3/3. You can pay 2 to give it flying, or 2 red to give it flying, pay 1 red to give it +1/+0, so fire breathing. But if you have no cards in your hand, it is double strike.
Nice. That's nasty.
Yeah, I don't know if that would see play either, though.
Should we talk about green? And do you have any red cards you wanted to add, or?
Nothing huge. Nothing that's screaming my name. You know, red and green are doing decently in Pioneer.
I mean, like you said, you don't really want to turn Pioneer into Modern. So I guess we don't talk about Tarmogoyf, right?
Goyf would be interesting. You know, he wouldn't be insane. I think especially the biggest thing is that land isn't a free card into the graveyard like it is in older formats. Yeah. So that means that Tarmogoyf basically starts one smaller than in Modern and Legacy.
It'd be really good in Sultai Delirium, for sure.
Yeah, it would be really good in Sultai Delirium. It would be really good in Lurrus decks. Oh, God. Yeah, right now it might be a little broken. Yeah. I think at previous points in the format it might have been more printable than it is right now.
The other thing I wanted to ask about green, do we need, like, Farseek or any of those, like, mana effects, you know, that help you fix your mana? Or is mana just too good?
I'm
going to
say hard no. You know, Wizards have been kind of talking about this, is that the fast mana is a little bit too consistent. In fact, we've got Wolfwillow Haven, we've got, oh gosh, I'm not going to remember any of the names for some reason today. The 0/3 that taps for any color. We've got the 2/1 Hexproof that taps for any color. Like, those are all mana sources that are so hard to interact with.
Yeah.
Right now, it's very hard for, you know, you can't just bolt the bird when all of their fast mana just works this way.
Yeah.
So, almost, I feel like we need the opposite. I'd rather see a powerful 1 mana, like a Birds of Paradise or a Heritage Druid, rather than see, you know, a powerful, safe 2 mana ramper right now.
Yeah. All right, well, there's one other card then in green that I've always kind of liked, and that's Thoraktusk, and I talked about that a little bit earlier.
Oh, I love that card.
5/3, and when it dies, it leaves... Sorry, it's a 5/3, and you gain 5 life when it comes into play, and then when it dies, it leaves you a 3/3 beast. I'd love that right now. I don't think that's too powerful.
Maybe this is more of a called shot than anything, but I'd love to see, now that Garruk is back, can we see some of the old Garruk cards reprinted? Because, like, I'd love to see any of the three, like, the 4 or 5 mana Garruks.
Like the one from, like, M10, or the one that makes, like, a beast token, and untaps your two forest, right? Was that what it was?
Yeah, let me remember exactly what... So, the ones I'm thinking of in particular are, like, untap 2 lands, make a beast, or creatures you control get +3/+3 trample. That one's just, you know, sweet card. That's a classic Planeswalker. But the 5 mana one that I'm thinking of is the, you know, create a beast plus -2 draw cards, and can, like, make a ton of giant worms or something like that.
Oh, yeah. This is ultimate, right? The giant worms. That's probably not something we'll see reprinted, but I think that's something that could show up Pioneer Master
set. I could see either of those in a core set.
Yeah. They used to do it like that, but I haven't seen reprinted Planeswalkers in, like, a decade, I think. It's been a long time.
But, like, I mean, I think Garruk Wildspeaker in particular, like, that's been reprinted. That would make such a, like, classic core card. All right.
Multicolor?
Anything else big?
I mean, green, I'm good, but...
nothing that I'm...
I mean, multicolor...
You know, I love to see more powerful red-white cards, because I feel like... You know, I feel like both red and white are lacking a little bit in their long game, red in particular in Pioneer. I don't know what fixes that, but wouldn't mind a little bit more, a little something-something.
Is Lightning Helix too good? If you're talking about multicolor now?
It's a card I've said before that I would love to see at a time when... You know, like, red-white's one of my favorite color combinations. Right now might be pretty strong. I think Yeah, I think go for it is my opinion. It's such a sweet card, and it kind of helps a strategy that needs exactly that effect.
Like Jeskai Controller or Mardu or...
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, if we don't get Path to Exile, I'd be happy with Lightning Helix.
Sure, that's fair. It'd be powerful in Red-White Burn, though, is a little scary thing right now.
Another card that I think, I mean, it doesn't really see a lot of play in Modern, but I think would be kind of cool in this format, and that's Huntmaster of the Fells. The, I want to say it's...
Oh, love that card. 2-2?
Is it 2-2, 4 mana, or is it 3-3?
I think it starts out as 2-2, right?
Yeah, it's a 2-2, 4 mana, and when it enters the battlefield, you get a 2-2 wolf token, I believe. And then if you don't cast any spells, it flips, and everyone would say it becomes like a 4-4, and it does 2 damage to... I'm not sure if it's just that one turn, or is it maybe on any upkeep? No, I think it's just that turn, but 2 damage to any target.
Yeah, just when it flips.
Yeah. So,
well, 2 damage to a creature and their player.
So I don't think that this would be a great card in like those green-red, Gruul Stompy Embercleave decks. I think this would be a better mid-range card. You know, something, like I said,
yeah, we would need... You know, like this, or like Bloodbraid Elf.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something to kind of make those more mid-range decks. Yeah, no, Cascade. We're not going to see Cascade reprinted.
Yeah.
But, you know, if we were to see it as like a historic anthology card that ends up in Pioneer, I think that's possible.
How about Kitchen Finks in Multicolor?
That's an interesting one. You know, as long as we're thinking about Kitchen Finks, what about E-Witness?
Yeah. I would like to see Eternal Witness back.
So, yeah, one green, 2/1, when it enters the battlefield, you return any card from your graveyard to your hand. Like, that's such a classic card, and we can't really do that in Pioneer right
they
now.
They had the Megamorph one, the Den Protector.
Which, I've talked about this to some people, is that you can cast Den Protector in a Lurrus deck, mm-hmm. so, like, you know, your Lurrus dies, you can actually... Or so, like, your Lurrus is in play, you can cast Den Protector from your graveyard as a morph.
Mm-hmm.
And then when your Lurrus dies, you can bring it back with Den Protector and just keep going back and forth.
Mm-hmm. And that seems more fair than what other people are doing with Lurrus, to be honest. So it's not a super powerful thing. But
it's more just, it's interesting that morph cost is always zero. So no matter what the CMC of the creature is, you can cast a creature as a morph from your graveyard using Lurrus' ability.
So... We had Den Protector, and I think there's one other one that was like 4 mana or something like that. I mean, 3 mana is definitely the best cost, I think, for Eternal Witness.
Yeah, so
effects.
Golgari Findbroker is only permanent, I believe.
Mm-hmm. There might have been another like green 2 mana one, I think, that kind of did something similar, but everyone forgot about it.
Green Warden of Murasa?
Maybe?
For 6 mana?
No, it wasn't that much.
Yeah, that one's a 5/4, but it also does it when it dies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You want to talk about artifacts real quick?
Yeah, if there's anything artifact, you know, we've talked a little bit before about lands. I don't know if I want to go too deep into what lands we'd like to see, but if you want to do some artifacts real quick, or Eldrazi in colorless.
I don't think I'd want to bring back any of the other Eldrazi, to be honest. But I think I've talked about this in past episodes. I want something like Torpor Orb. Something that stops those ETB effects or this, you know, something that any color can use. Because right now only white.
Yeah, so some of our hate cards. Yeah, right now only white has that. And some of those hate, you know, like what should be silver bullet cards are too removable being creatures. I'm interested in seeing something like a Torpor Orb, you know, being able to put some of our, you know, we've already got some good ways to get rid of graveyard hate. Mm-hmm. But I don't hate the idea of hate cards moving on to things that are less interactable with.
Mm-hmm. So you would be okay.
What
with
about
that.
What about Chalice? You know that again. I don't want to make it look more like Modern or Legacy, but that's kind of a. I don't know if that would see play. Like, where would that see play if it sees play?
Yeah, I guess there's. I mean, it would be against the combo decks, maybe that have like a lot of cantrips. You know, like the blue red that are playing just like a 1 or 2 mana. You know, card draw effects.
Sure.
Or.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's really interesting because, you know, we don't see a lot of, we don't see much as far as, like, decks that are all one drops like you can really see in Modern or Legacy, even with Lurrus decks being around. And you don't see, you know, you don't have any fast mana, mm-hmm. so it's not like you're going to be cheating into play as a one card on turn one. I don't know if it would see play. It would certainly be interesting. I wouldn't hate seeing what that could do in the format.
I think it would lead to a lot of unfun interactions, though, to be honest.
Hopefully not, but maybe.
What about, speaking of cheap artifacts, how about Aether Vial? One mana.
That's one I think, I love the card, but I don't think I want. It's too much stronger than anything else similar, like even more than Collective Company, that I think it would be really warping on what decks can run Aether Vial versus the decks that can't run Aether Vial.
Because then maybe the ones that can't run it wouldn't actually be good.
Yeah.
I mean, you could do that, and humans would probably be playable for sure. I don't know, maybe you could play that with elves. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. You know, we end up spending a lot more time on what would be some cool reprints than I think we intended to for this episode, but, you know, kind of wrapping it up, we looked at what was in Historic Anthology 3, you know, what's in Historic Anthology in general, and how that was at all affect Pioneer, if Pioneer one day ends up on MPG Arena. Mm-hmm. And we talked a little bit about what would think be some cool reprints. But guys, if you want to tell us what would be some cool reprints, you can reach out to me. I'm at MTG Pioneer on Twitter.
And you guys can find me at Yoshwenky on Twitter, Yoshwenky.
All right. And, so that's going to... you can also find our Discord. Yes. There's a Facebook group. Yes. There's a... the Discord's a good way to reach out to us if you want to get linked to that.
Yeah, the First Pioneers Discord group. You can join us. I'm pretty sure that we usually put that in when we release this episode, that should be in the information area.
The credits, yeah. You should be able to find that. If you can't, just tweet us or find us on, you know, Reddit and anywhere you want to reach out to us. But we love to hear from you guys. Anyways, this is the First Pioneers Podcast. We are a Pioneer podcast to keep our listeners up to date with what is new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer. Signing off.